We are in actually week 7 of the series on Hosea. It's gone by, and hopefully, and I pray that God's been speaking to you throughout the series. It is not an easy book because it challenges your very thought process on the love of God and how God looks at you. And what do you do when God asks you to do something that goes against your nature and wanting to do it? And most of us would say all the time. But that's what he asked Hosea to do. And so we're going to pick it up in chapter 12. And I pray today that God's going to speak to you and is going to give you some revelation on what's happening, not only in the world, but what he's called you to do. So chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "The people of Israel feed on the wind. They chase after the east wind all day long. They pile up lies and violence, and they are making an alliance with Assyria while sending olive oil to buy support from Egypt. Now the Lord is bringing charges against Judah. He is about to punish Jacob for all his deceitful ways and pay him back for all he has done. Even in the womb, Jacob struggled with his brother. When he became a man, he even fought with God. And yes, he wrestled with the angel and won. He wept and pleaded for a blessing from him. There at Bethel, he met God face to face and God spoke to him." If you remember the story in Genesis chapter 32, which we'll be talking about a little bit later, is that Jacob had a wrestling match with an angel. And many people believe that that angel was a representation of God himself. And so we'll talk a little bit about that later. "The Lord God of heaven's armies, the Lord is his name. So now come back to your God. Act with love." Everybody say love. "And justice. And always depend on him. But no, the people are like crafty merchants selling from dishonest scales. They love to cheat. Israel boasts, 'I am rich. I made a fortune all by myself. No one has caught me cheating. My record is spotless.'" You serve a God who knows everything about you from the time you were born up till now and to the grave. He knows what you're going to say before you say it. He knows what you do before you're going to do it. And for us to boast or have the audacity to look at God and say, or look at others and say, "No one will catch me for what I'm doing," is audacious. Audacious. Because we serve a God who knows how to expose. And if you live any length with God, you understand that God does not let you get away with things very long. If you call yourself a Christian and you're denying yourself daily and you're taking up your cross and following him, you know that God always holds you to that and won't let you hide very long. So if you like hiding, you're in the wrong religion. Because God will expose things even when you don't want them exposed. And it's one of the things that you recognize with God real quick. You might be able to hide things from your parents, but you can't hide things from God. Because he knows how to make things very uncomfortable very quick until you cry, "Abba." You have a God who loves you so much that he will allow you in situations that cause you to cry out to him. He loved Israel so much that he told Israel, "If you want a king, I'll give you one." Knowing that that king, Saul, would do to them and put them into oppression and cause them to do things that were not godlike. And eventually God would have to raise up a deliverer to come in and take his place. God loves you so much, even as this morning Maria said that in Romans chapter 1, that he'll let you have it your way and see how that goes. And most of us in here could probably say that I've seen how it goes for me. Because God will, in his unconditional love, allow you to circle mountains and get yourself dug in a pit until you finally come to your senses, prodigal son, and say, "It was better back in my father's house." And until you get to that realization that God is the only true sustainer of life, that he is the only way, the truth, and the life, you will run your life ragged trying to find the meaning and some sort of purpose in other things. And God says, "You can't find it in other things or other people. It's found in me." And the wrestling match is getting to that point. Because not only are you fighting the world, but you're fighting yourself. Because we raise ourselves up to be godlike in our thought process, and it gets us in trouble. If you don't think so, look at the state of the nation and the world right now. When you raise yourself up to be higher than God, God says, "I have to show you something about who you are." If you don't think so, go back into Lucifer. And when Lucifer said, "I will exalt myself," and God said, "You won't." And so we are now in a fight, not only with the flesh, but we are in a fight with the enemy who absolutely hates our guts because we were bought with a price. And a God who decided to step down off his throne and go to the cross and die a bloody death. A death that exposed who he was for you. And so this, I'm going to call it a relationship, not religion. It's public. It's not private. And the fight is to take it from your private life to the public life. Because you can't hide the cross. He didn't die in a cave. He didn't die in a tomb. He died so the whole world could see. And so now you were talking about a God who freely gave himself, and he's asking you to do the same thing. So much so that he writes books through his writers, imploring his people to come back because of his love. When Adam and Eve lost the right to be in the garden, God didn't say, I'm done with you and never coming after you. Isn't that why we read the Old Testament and the New Testament? Because God was always coming. Always coming. We know that before the foundations of the world, God already had a plan and he was coming. But it was never for us to have a private relationship with God so nobody could see. And what we do right now through our social media channels is we hide. Because it's easier not to face the people that we're addressing rather than actually live the life that we're supposed to live. Because we can do it privately and with hopes that no one will catch us. But God said, why don't you put your money where your mouth is? And why don't you do it when it counts? Well, where is that? It counted right there. When he said, I'll take up the cross up Golgotha. And I'll show everyone that for my plan and my purpose, that it was God's plan and that he loved the world that he gave me. And we're in a situation right now where the church has been hiding under some rocks and crevices. And this series was prophetic because I believe that God was trying not only to sweep his house, but sweep your house. And the one thing about God's broom is that God's broom can get into those places that you see at 2 o'clock in the morning on the infomercial. That's $19.99. That even gets to places that you think can't get. And look, no runny eggs. You know that commercial that you're like, man, I'm tempted to buy that right now. Or the MyPillow that promises to give you the best night's sleep you ever had in your life. It doesn't. I've tried it. So now you're in a situation of where you see things being promised to you that can't be delivered. And so only God can get into those places that you try to hide. And it is beneficial for you just to open up and allow him to excavate the crust, the bitterness, the dullness out. Because life was not made for you to stay on the sideline and have some token type or imitation type of life where there was no power, there's no real love, and certainly no discipline. What I appreciate what Misty said today and the theme throughout this day was us, yes, having a love relationship with God, but doing life with God. There has been a sense lately even of me of having an understanding of God's heart and love for humanity. So much so that God will drop you a name of a couple in your heart and say, hey, I want you to call them and tell you. I'm praying for you. Because it's not just about you and your sphere. It's about what God's doing in the atmosphere. And so God can do something here and tell you to pray something now because someone is dealing with that very thing on the other side of the world. And having a heart for God and knowing that not only if God gave, that God's going to ask you to give. If you're following him and you have a relationship with him, and you're modeling him, then that relationship is going to be modeled in every area of your life. God doesn't cut corners and say, okay, Megan, I'm going to let you slide with this area because it's okay. I want all of it. And the way he does it is a little bit at a time, but he's serious about it because he wants it. because he knows what's beneficial for you. And let's just be real honest. The more you give, the more free you get. If you don't understand that your life is not your own, you'll worry about holding on to your life so much that you'll actually start to lose life. Try it. Because he said, if you lose your life for myself, you'll gain it. But if you try to hold on to your life, you're going to lose it. So you might as well lose faster so that you can get free in the areas that God wants you to get. Listen, for those who have been in bondage, those who have been shackled by something, isn't there something freeing when you're free? I mean, let's just be very honest with you. No one who's been free, all of a sudden, like really free, all of a sudden decides to go back and says, man, I love that place of bondage. It was so awesome. It was so awesome that I felt confined. It was so awesome that I walked around in guilt. It was so great when I felt condemned. No one in their right mind loves that place. You love the place of freedom. The fight is to stay in that place. Because in that place, you're free to be who God has called you to be, and power can be released, and chains can be broken. In the other place, you're chained. So how do two chained people free each other? You can't. So you get into relationships with people who are dealing with things that are holding them down, and that person is being held down by something, and then essentially what you're saying is, hey, let's get together because I believe we can fix each other. And you're not fixing one another. And this is the problem with a humanistic viewpoint in today's world, or when we talk about idolatry, which with Hosea is about, is that we raise up things in our life to be godlike, and we look for the fix. But the fix cannot come apart from Jesus. I don't care who you talk to. I don't care what book you subscribe to. I don't care what someone told you when you were reading a book or going through a hard time. The only fix can come through Jesus. The only fix. So if you're trying to fix something that cannot be fixed only through Jesus Christ, you're spinning your wheels and you're going to exhaust yourself. That's why not only is this book important, but you have to ask yourself a question. You got to ask yourself a question. Am I chasing the wind? Am I chasing the wind? Let me tell you something about this wind he's talking about in here. He's talking about an east wind. This east wind is not friendly. Okay? It leaves you parched. It's dry. It's damaging. So what he's saying is, I've got Israel. They're chasing the wind right now. They're chasing things that are leaving them wanting more. And because they do that, they inflict injury upon themselves, not realizing that they're drawing away from me because they're chasing things that are not for them. And I wonder what happens with us, because a lot of us, remember years ago that book, God Chasers? We all, like, thank you. We loved that book. And the God Chasers, the one who was chasing God, right? So everyone was, we're going to chase God. We're going to do this. Where has that gone? Because things come and go in fads. You know, I got my WWJD's bracelet on. That's cool. I'm going to wear that. Yo, but I'm going to sleep with my girlfriend. But that's cool, right? It's cool. Yeah, it's cool, though, because I'm rock solid, man. I am rock solid. Believe me, man. When it comes to following Christ, I know how to follow Christ. And then I look at your Instagram page, and it's like, dude, you're not following Christ, man. Or when I talk to you, you say a lot, but you don't do a lot. And this is one of the problems. When you really start to walk in power, love, and self-discipline, you can spot a fake. And this is why a lot of Christians don't want to get better. Because we're so afraid of upsetting someone that we miss out on the glorious riches of Christ's inheritance that he died to give us. If he's called us to be free, he said, I've called you to be free in every area. And that means fear of man. Well, no, it doesn't. That means fear of man. Because if we're all honest in here, it was that fear that got you where. And so we chase these fantasies and we chase this one, you're gonna give me what I need. And in reality, it dries up. And thank God that he's got you where you are now. Hold on, thank God you're there now. So that you don't have to look back and say, well, I got to go through that process again. Why don't you just take a little moment and thank God in your head for where he took you from and how free you are now. I don't want to go back to the imitation game I was playing. There's no life there. I'd rather be in the reality, and this is the tough place because you got to take the hits with this reality. Because not everybody likes this. This is the stuff they write you about and say, that guy's a heretic, or that guy's a freak, or I felt offended. Yeah. And when I look at the Bible and I look at the New Testament, I'm like, oh, man. No. And he said many hard things, and they walked away. And Jesus looked at his disciples, the 12 that were there, and said, are you going to go too? And Peter said, where am I going to go? You have the words to eternal life. Church, what else are you going to do? For the majority of us who've been walking with Christ that long and know that he is the way, the truth, and life when it gets hard and God's ripping things out and putting things in, what else are you going to do? I'm going to go back. No, you're not. Because as the dark gets darker, the light is supposed to get lighter. And what does light do? It penetrates and it cuts through. So you have a lot of things happening right now that God is doing in your life. He's cutting through stuff, but you're going to start cutting some stuff. And it's not easy because of what it means. I lost someone because I stood up for the truth. And they came to the realization that it wasn't for them. So the enemy got in that quick, stole the seed, took it out. If you don't think that he can get in quick and snatch, we're missing. The truth is still the truth. I still have to stand alone on the truth. I can't waver behind it. It doesn't matter how you feel. We've been talking about this. It doesn't matter how you feel. The truth is still the truth. I don't care. I just don't feel like hearing that today. It's still the truth. And God will press the issue with you and say, if you love me, follow me, and keep my commandments. If you don't, you don't. Because he said, I'd rather you be hot or I'd rather you be cold. But don't give me something that's lukewarm. And so right now, I believe there's a transformation that God has taken those that are hot, hotter. And those that are just don't want to have anything to do or those that are lukewarm, the tendency is to be cold. So we're in a fight right now. We're in a fight. So you have a fight that God is trying to get your attention so that you can follow him and get to the place where God has called you to be. That's the fight. That's what it's about. So right now, that comes through various ways. It comes through your physical body, because if you don't think that your physical body affects the way you think, it comes through your emotions. And so if the enemy can get in and work on your emotions, it'll turn your affections away from God and toward the thing that is vying for the attention of those affections, okay? And so then what he does is he starts to work on your finances. And you know as well as I do, if your finances are out of whack, you're out of whack. And so you got all these things that are being uprooted. You got physical stuff, emotional stuff. You got spiritual stuff. You got financial, all this stuff going on. And God's saying, wake up, you're in a fight. Wake up. The world is on the brink of a great outpouring of God's Spirit. Wake up! You don't want to be left behind. Remember when you were younger and you were in recess or PE and they were picking teams? You remember, like, you felt really great? Like, oh, yeah, I know I'm the best. So, like, I'm going to be picked, like, one or two. I'm like, yes, let's go. You always looked at the other kid who was, like, pick last. You're like, okay, I'll take, come on, Billy. Come on. Don't let that be the case now. Where God's having to be like, okay, well, I'll just take you. Be in a place and a position and be ready. Like, why do we have to be in a place where I feel so weak and exhausted and emaciated that God says, okay, I'll take you. Let's be in a place of strength. Let's be in a place where you feel good about yourself. When you're physically, you're doing better than you have been. Emotionally, you're on lock right now. God's bringing healing. You've given him access to areas of your life. You're stronger than you've been before. Financially, man, I've been given. God's been blessed, opening doors for me. You're just clicking on. Let's be that one because it's easier to pick that one. I'll take that one. When God looks down and say, I like that one. He's seeking me. She's seeking me. It doesn't mean that God's eye is not toward the broken or the downtrodden. That's God's heart, yes. But God looks at his kids and say, how long? How long are we going to struggle with this? Let's build ourselves up in our most holy faith. Let's pray in the Holy Spirit. Let's get ourselves to a place of strength. If I'm fat and overweight, let's deal with it. Let's deal with it. I can't move. Lose weight. Because we do all this stuff and we're asking God to bless us and God's saying, I'm looking right at you. You have the ability to do it. Work what I be. Do it. God, do it for me. No, you do it. I'll work with you. When I work with you, guess what? You'll see that I'm with you in the midst of the process. Emotionally, you begin to change. Things will begin to change in your life as you're going through this transformation. But don't complain about it and not do anything about it. Because that is not a blessing to God. And that is not a good representation of who Jesus Christ is. It's not. I want to serve God, but there are certain things that I can't do. Look at yourself and all these levels, but let's get down to the practical also. How many years ago? 8, 9 years ago. I can remember. I finally had it. I threw my back out, and I was sick of it. I said, I don't know what's going on with me right now, but I'm getting this thing right. Ask Misty. I turned everything around in my life and said, I'm making my physical health a priority. Because if I'm going to hold what God has called me to hold, I'm going to work on this. I'm not perfect, but if I'm going to hold it, I'm going to get physically where I need to be. And that is what caused me to change. And not only change, but it started to work in deeper levels of my life emotionally and caused me to see things that I haven't seen before, and it began to prop me up spiritually as I saw that God's heart was for me to be whole, spirit, soul, and body. And it was a changer for me. So the question is, what is it going to be for you? What am I chasing that's smacking me in the face and asking it to feed me? And God's saying, stop chasing that wind. Stop chasing the fantasy and let's put in the work. I want to get better emotionally. Put in the work. Put in the work. I got to reframe some things from my past. I got to get it right and move on. I'm not going to live there, but I got to get it right and move on. I'm not going to be 90 years old. My teeth are out of my mouth. And I'm still wondering what happened at 16. I'm 90. I should have saw the promised land, possessed the promised land, killed some giants along the way, did what God called me to do, but I'm wondering what happened at 16 years old. Get over that and let's move on to what God has called us to move on to. And God, by his Spirit, is saying, church, I'm waiting on you. I thank God and for the situations that he allowed me to get in to start to see things differently and do the work. Thank God for putting me in the crucible so I can start to look different, feel different, and see different. Thank God that he did it. And for you, thank God that he's doing it now. Because he loves you enough, because he knows at the end of your life, for you to look back and say, I did what God has called me to do. Like Paul said, I ran a good race. I fought a good fight. You know what? It's been a fight, but I've been fighting good. And I feel better than I've ever felt before, and I feel stronger. So I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep doing it. Because you know what? I want to possess what God has called me to possess. Not a fantasy, but the promises of God. Purpose over pleasure. You know, I was thinking about this. Jesus, thank you for your revelation. If you gave it to me, I think you did yesterday. We look at all this stuff. What's it to you if you have a relationship on the side, but you nearly never commit to the relationship that God has called you to commit to? I'm thinking about all this stuff. I'm in the stadium yesterday. All these people were in a college stadium. I see youth, young adults, everyone's doing this thing. Everyone's living the life, living for the weekend. And I'm saying to myself, what's it profit you? What's it profit to you? If tonight you end up in bed with somebody else and you forfeit the rest of your life because you slipped and made a mistake. And now the promises that were there, your life was ahead of you, but because of pleasure in a small season of your life, now you're hooked up to a person or persons who have now infected you or have now had an influence on you. They're not positive. Or you don't think it can happen. Things that your parents or haven't told you, or things that you hook up. Okay, let's put it this way. Colleges now are so liberal, you got kids coming home changing their whole perspective about who God is and who their identity is. I'm no longer that anymore. It's pleasure. I want to feel good, but I'm not good. I'm not. You're trying to get right by doing good. He said the only way you get right is by putting your faith in me and knowing who I am. And allowing me to justify you. Because as I justify you, and as you walk in the process of discipleship and transformation, you'll begin to see that the things that the world desires and loves, I don't. And what's beneficial for you is for you to walk hand in hand with me, Israel. And stop buying and selling with your enemies. And this takes maturity. For you to eventually say, hold up, I can't live this way anymore. I'm going to commit. I'm going to get out. Isn't that what you really want? Hold on, ladies. Let's talk about the ladies for a minute. And we're going to get back to what we need to get back to. I believe the Lord's on this right now. You're wanting someone who's going to commit to you. Not just about what you can give. But you want to ride out in life with this person because there's purpose in it. So when God brings relationships into your life, it is not for you just to have fun. There's a purpose behind it. But if you're looking for fun over purpose, you're going to miss God, because that fun's going to run out in about 3 days. And you're going to have to realize that I'm either stuck with this person or I got to go somewhere else, because the purpose of God will always prevail. And that means God will let things dry out on purpose so you move on. Stop holding on to things and to fantasies and to wind that's smacking you up on the side of your face, and you keep going back in. I got hit again. I just feel so good. I get back in. I just feel really great. Thank you for your abusive words. And I keep going back in. Yes, thank you. Thank you. I love this. Thank you so much. Oh, you don't love me anymore? You love her? Stupid. Chase and win. So right now we're in desperate times. Desperate times. Would you agree? We're in desperate times right now. We would say, well, this has never been like this in the history of the United States of America. We've been in places before. But we like to exacerbate things because we live now. We're like, this is like the biggest thing ever. Like the problems we're not seeing now, we haven't seen for years. All God's doing right now is, come here. Oh! You see that? Mm-hmm. That's the leg you don't want to see. That's what I've been hiding, because I've been trying to get my church ready to deal with that. So if I have you on the back burner trying to get you ready for some of your stuff and deal with some of your stuff, it's because I want you to deal with that. I can't have you dealing with your stuff and all of a sudden you're trying to deal with that that's exposed. It won't work. It won't work. Because you'll end up falling right back into that thing. And so God said, I'm going to separate you so good that once you see that thing, there's going to be no desire but my spirit. And so little by little, God pulling it back. And we get this huge revelation of what's happening that God has seen. And God is speaking to his church right now. If you're listening, he's speaking to the church. Get your life right now. Because I want you to help bring this end time harvest in and deal with this. That means I need you to get so in a place with me that you understand where your identity is, who you are, that fear of man is so far away from you that you can deal with things not worrying about the repercussions. And if they go, they go. You can get to a place in God, this is so good, you can get to a place in God that you just tell people, if you got to go, you got to go. I'm gonna be good. Well, that's not really productive for a healthy standpoint. It is very healthy because I know who I believe in. You can't live as long as you have lived and not learn some vital lessons about life and about people. When it comes down to it, people are a gift. They are. But when God decides to move people out, it doesn't take place or take the place of the gift giver. I enjoy the gift. But my excitement for Christmas Day waned about 35 years ago. To be honest with you, it's not about me. It's about Jesus. And really, my kids are getting to the age right now where it's like, it's cool. We're just taking my vacation now. Because toys did it 35 years ago. They don't do it now. It's the real meaning for the season is Jesus. I realize the gift. He's the gift that keeps on giving. And so if I can have that perspective, it doesn't matter who comes and who goes. You can let people go and know that God's going to bring in who he wants to bring in. But isn't it a benefit for some to go? Let's be really honest. If you really got down to it, you've probably gotten to the point in your life and said, you know what? It's probably good just between me and you, Lord, that they went. I know, Rich. There are certain things that God is trying to show you that sometimes we don't want to see. Because we look at God as a God who compartmentalizes and who God doesn't have her whole life in perspective and in his hands. And God loves you and knows what's best for you. Yes, he does. The things that you think are better for you, God says, I got best for you. And if you'll just let me pull some things out and wait on me, I'll help you to soar. Like Missy said, I've been feeling that lately, just soaring over stuff. The stuff that you thought were so important, God said, is not important whatsoever. I'm important. And you'll begin to let stuff go and begin to hold on to Jesus. And once you begin to hold on to Jesus, it changes your perspective because then the cross is not intimidating anymore. Because there was one who hung there, but now he's gone. And my life is now hidden with him. It doesn't matter anymore. And so if he's called me to lay down my life for something, guess what? Okay. It's the gospel. There are certain things that God asked prophets in the Old Testament to do that some of us would be appalled to do. Because we're so enamored with our life. It's mine. It's not yours. That's why this whole argument about Jesus help me, this whole argument about vaccine and not vaccine drives me crazy. It's not your life. It's his. You do what God has asked you to do. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which is not yours. It's His. So do what God has asked you to do and be cool with it. Be cool. Don't show everyone else what you don't. Nobody cares. Just do it. Last thing. It's real simple. If I'm chasing the wind and I'm chasing things that are slapping me upside the face and I know what to do, it's real simple. Just return back to Him. Just return. Just like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And I know you're a loving Father that will take me in because you said you'll never leave me or forsake me. And if I look through Scripture and if I need accounts of people who have had similar situations like mine, all I have to do is look at the account of Israel. Who God said, you're not mine, but now you are mine. I really love you. You know I love you. How can I give you up? But shh, I got to discipline you. Hey, I got to, shh, take that, but I love you. You know that, God. And we look at God like, no, but God, it grieves God's heart. I love you, but you got to take this one. Just take it. Take it like a man. All right, cool. That's who God is. It's like Missy when she says, like, I discipline my kids. Like, I'm supposed to, I love you. I know. Shh, Mom said I can. Be quiet. Because you know, she's, I love you. But the heart is there. Okay? There is a punishment. Okay? It doesn't last real long. But it lasts appropriate amount of time. Because what happens is for us, is what we do is that what we do is because we don't realize the love of God, we stay punished more than God has us there. Hey, bro, listen, I forgave you about 10 years ago for that one. What? I'm still walking around like, I can't believe I did it. I'm going to say this. There are certain things I wish I didn't do. I didn't know any better, but I don't regret my life. I don't regret my life. I can't look back at my life and say, I can't believe. No, I'm not trying to cancel my past. I embrace the fact that I was messed up, but God used it. And everything that happened in my life, God worked it out according, and He is working it out according to His good pleasure and purpose. And when you look at God from that perspective, you can look at Him as a God who loves and who's sovereign and who's over all. And to know that, thank the Lord that certain things happened to me because I'm better today than I probably should have been. I'm better today. I'm better today. Listen, I'm more loving today. I'm more fierce today because of that. I'm more fierce because there are certain things that God could not get me to unless He allowed me to go through it. Let's look at God that way and not look at God who is a punisher. I can't believe you allowed me to be in that relationship. Look what it did to me. Well, let's look what it did to you. You're stronger. You're more intense in a good way. There are things that God got out of you because of it. So let's go by. Let's go down all the lists. What are the negatives? It hurt. But you look better, you're stronger, you've got more faith in your life, you're man, you're a warrior. There are things that God has done in you all because of that. You're right. Because if it doesn't hurt, it doesn't help. And that's what you're looking for. God, I don't want it to hurt. God said, it's not going to help you if it doesn't hurt a little bit. You want a relationship with God. Oh, okay, wait. Imagine Jesus. I don't want it to hurt, Lord. That was the point, for Him to hurt and to die and to be pierced and to be crushed so that now He can be acquainted with you when it hurts, when you feel crushed. He said, I got you covered because now I know I'm not just a God who created it, but now I'm a God who's acquainted with it, and now I can get you through it because I know there's joy on the other side. So come what may, I can take it. I can take it because there's a benefit in that. Well, Lord, what does that mean? It means that you're going to have to go through some stuff. As much as you are trying not to, God said there is not an escape route from the cross. There's not. You're going to have to take up your cross and do it like I did. For Him, it was Golgotha, up that road. For you, Only you and God know what that road is. And once you get there, the process will begin. Because embracing endings and new beginnings is part of the gospel. It's a new beginning. From my account, he's not there no more. So now I have new life in Christ. So now I can walk with him hand in hand and know that he was crushed. I'm probably going to be crushed a little bit. It's okay. Because I love him that much. I'm willing to do it. And that's what we're dealing with in the body today. Let's all stand on our feet. Come on up, man. Hey, just return. He said, without fear of what the punishment's going to be. I'm afraid of it. Let's just be honest. I'm afraid of what the punishment. But you can't allow the fear of what the punishment might be to hold you back for coming back into a loving relationship with God. The prodigal son, if he would have let that process take place, he would have never went back home. But he got up and he said, hold on, my servants have it better than I do. And he went back. And what did the Bible say? It said from afar off, the dad saw him and ran to meet him and hugged him and kissed him and said, listen, let's have a party. That's what God's heart is for you. I just want to party with you. I want to party with you. And some would say, great, God's a partier. Wonder what he does. God's a partier. No, but you have to fight for your right to party. Not one of these things where like, oh, God's going to, I'm just going to dole out the blessing. No, you got to fight for your right to party. That means you got to fight through some of this stuff in your life in order to get there. I want to see differently. God says, okay, I'm going to take you through some stuff so you can see differently. He's going to take you up in that offer. I want to see differently. You're going to go dark for a little while. I want to see like you see. Okay. There are things in my life right now that I'm rejoicing in because what it took to get there. God did not just plop it in my lap and say, here's victory. The cross gave me victory. That gave me victory. It showed me how to appropriate victory in my life as I was walking to victory. Because I already knew, because of him, I am victorious. But I have to see that become a reality in my life now. So that means, here we go. And there are some things I have to fight against, and some things I have to go against, all because of wanting to see victory. And because of the joy as a result of it. Man, oh, the joy. Oh, the riches that are a result of it. But you're going to have to come up against some stuff. What does that mean? Don't let the fear of the unknown cause you to miss out on what God has for you on the other side. This is the gospel message. This is not a placating message that's going to tell you that God's going to give you all the money in the world you want and that he's going to No, that doesn't work that way. God said, you're going to walk with me. Walk with the wise and become wise. Walk with me, and I'll begin to give you blessings at right times in your life. I'll open doors of opportunity at right times in your life. But you got to walk with me. You got to walk with me and talk with me. You got to go through some stuff with me. Listen, if you suffer with me, guess what? You'll reign with me. But I'm not, listen, right now you're seated with me there. But in reality, we got some work to do. You got some work to do right now. So we suffer together. You're going to reign. You'll start to soar. But we have people right now who are on the runway. They're on the runway. The bags are underneath. They're looking out the window and saying, do I have a chance to get off? Because you know God's pushing you and asking you to go higher. But you're afraid of what that looks like. And I told you this before, and I'll tell you it again. The hardest thing when I started to fly was to get over the initial ascent, because I was always concerned, is this thing going to hold up in the air? And I was always afraid that I'm going to go backwards. And that's the biggest fear. And I'm telling you right now, guess what? That is what motivates me. I don't want to feel like I felt before I started to fly. I hated it. Because it's the very thing that causes you to stunt your growth. But it was the very thing that God used to push to get you past. And that means getting you in situations to kill the little boy and the little girl out of you. Not so you don't remember who you were, but so that you don't rely on the little boy and the little girl anymore. But that you begin to walk in full maturity as a big girl and a big boy, because you're growing up in immaturity. That's what you do with your kids. God said, I'm not going to keep you infant. I'm not going to keep you a child. I'm going to ask you to do some things that are going to cause you to stretch and grow. And there's going to be some things that are going to break off you, Sharon. God said, I'm going to break some stuff off you from your childhood. He said, I'm going to do it because I love you too much. There's an inheritance in heaven, he said, that is not spoiled. But you can have a little bit of heaven on earth. That's the great thing about the gospel. You don't have to wait till you get there to experience who God is. God said, I'm going to give you some stuff now. And you can walk, and that will be enough to keep you walking until one day you're united with him and say that was worth it. Father, thank you so much for everyone in here. Everyone that you called from darkness into light. Thank you that they're child. They're children of God. Everyone in here, you bought with a price. You set them apart. You called them by name. Child, you're mine. You're his kids today. Let's be a little honest in here. Are you at a place in your life where God is asking you to come back and return to him? Some of you might say, well, I've never really been with him. But he's always seen you. And know that he's calling you and he's tugging you. And he's saying, hey, just turn to me. Just turn. Because you've had enough looking everywhere else. It's not going to satisfy you. And you'll be honest with me and say, hey, would you just pray for me today? Because I know that I feel a turning and shifting in my life right now. That God is asking me to turn back to him. I'm talking to believers and non-believers in this room. And you'll look up at me and just be honest. And say, yeah, that's me. Just pray for me. Just pray for me. Just be honest. Don't you have to be like weird. Just pray. Like, don't give me one eye. Don't give me two. Like, maybe it's me. Maybe it's not. I don't know. I'm battling. That's the issue. Got you. I got you. Lord, for those who raise their heads up, God, for those in their heart who are warring, I thank you right now that your spirit is bigger and it can overshadow them. I pray that you would strengthen them in their most inner man right now to make that decision to continue to walk with you and to turn into you. That you're going to allow things in their life to get to such a place that they're going to be forced to turn to you. Because it's your goodness. It was your goodness that allowed Israel to get to where they needed to be so that they would turn back. I thank you that you're a loving Father who does that repeatedly. And that they would have an understanding that you've been chasing them for years. You're chasing them. Your love is better than life. And it's compelling them to make a change. It's compelling them to turn. And I thank you today that every stronghold, every high thing that's trying to exalt itself against your knowledge will be torn down in Jesus' name. And that people will not seek shelter in a false reality, but their reality will become you. And that the reality of you will supersede any other counterfeit or thing in their life that is trying to vie for their attention in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Thank you.